iFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Expect near permanent load shedding. That's for the next 2 years, according to Eskom. Eskom's chairperson has said that the power utility aims to deliver some degree of predictability for South Africa while the company executes its turnaround plan. Well, yeah, predictability is not having electricity at all. Then there's no confusion whatsoever. What a mess. What a situation South Africa finds itself. Hilton Trollope is an energy analyst. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Harry. I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. You're not talking to Howard. Harry has put you through to me.
No problem
at all. So just to try and make sense of this, of course, countries go through difficulties, and I was talking a little bit earlier about Britain after the war. They had rationing as they moved towards so-called normality. The idea of having a permanent, for the next 2 years anyway, stage two to stage three load shedding, what is that? Is it the same thing? Is it really about getting things right, or is it about the inability to provide electricity?
Howard, it's basically confirming what we knew already and what we were saying. We've been saying for some time this is the situation, there are no signs of improvement. We've only seen signs of increasing unavailability of the coal-fired fleet. That's the energy availability factor. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that's the one indicator, how often those coal-fired power stations on average are available. And that's been going down. And then the other thing that can fix load shedding is connecting new generation to the grid. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen much of that, and we don't. There have been some improvements with increasing extra generation to the grid, but they're small and they're sometime in the future, many of them. And there hasn't been a fundamental change in attitude of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, which is responsible for connecting new generation to the grid. So, yeah, it's confirming what we knew. Instead of every now and then getting out of load shedding altogether and then getting more, even more deep into trouble because they run stuff too hard, maybe it'll be a little bit more stable at two or three. But the Eskom had a press briefing yesterday. Well, not a press, it was a general briefing. Anybody could sign in. It was about 2.5 hours long with about 45 minutes of questions from the press. And the Eskom CEO, I took notes, was quite clear, quote, "We need additional capacity." That means more generation capacity. "As we have been saying for the past 3 years." Quoting.
The ultimate, 3 years.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, 3 years. I mean, we've had load shedding since 2008, but okay.
Yeah, but he's only been there in his job for the past 3 years,
okay.
And he's been shouting. And when he said we need additional capacity and it can come from renewables, he was told to stay in his lane by the Minerals and Energy Minister. And then he also says the ultimate solution to load shedding is the addition of utility-scale generation to the system. So that's the CEO. His chief operating officer said, "We can have all the money in the world, but if we cannot get more capacity on the grid, we will stay where we are." So Eskom isn't in a position to get much extra capacity on the grid. That's the job of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. And their minister, Minister Gwede Mantashe, is on record as saying that he doesn't think renewables can solve load shedding. And he's unlikely to get a new coal station onto the grid because that'll take at least 8 years, and anyway, they won't get financing for it. He's trying to get a gas station on the grid, but the latest attempt failed, and he's not trying very hard with the renewables. So that's where we sit.
So he's going going the power ship route, isn't he, Mantashe?
Sorry?
He wants to go the power ship route.
Yeah, so the power ships, that's about 1,600, that's 1.6 gigawatts of power, but that's not nearly enough to get over load shedding. And there are big problems with that too. The CEO was asked about that, and he said he didn't sound very optimistic about the car partnership, about Eskom signing contracts.
Mm.
Maybe government will try and force Eskom to. Maybe government will put in a chief executive officer that doesn't meet his fiduciary duties. In other words,
we'll do what they want him to do rather than...
Exactly, and then maybe we'll get the car partnerships, right. But we'll still have load shedding.
Right. What about the fact that many people, whether it's shopping centres, homes, put in solar system. That means that in all likelihood during the day they're producing more than they need. Why can't we be feeding that back to the grid? Why isn't this happening?
So Howard, in some places you can already, we can, I'm sitting in Cape Town, feed power into the grid, and that's going to happen a lot more in Cape Town to start with, because the Cape Town municipality has got a fairly progressive energy plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible, and in other countries, for example, Vietnam in the past few years, I saw a report that they'd added 8 megawatts onto rooftops in about 3 years. If we'd had a more progressive a Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, up until very recently, it was almost impossible to do that because of regulations.
Right.
But they've been relaxed. So that is a lot of power could come from that. We'd have to get rid of a lot of red tape, firstly, and then a lot of municipalities would need more capacity. Up there in Joburg, you've got City Power. There's some pretty progressive people there. Maybe they'll organize that for you. But as you pointed out, that's only during the day, and the big load shedding is at the morning peak and the evening peak.
Right, of course.
So, that needs storage to store all that stuff that comes on during the day.
And how practical is that? I mean, how possible is it for, let's say, City Power or Cape Town to have some form of storage systems so that they can mitigate this?
It's very practical. So Cape Town's already planning batteries. They've allocated lots of places on the distribution grid, and they actually have some batteries in the plans. The other thing that can be done is individuals can get batteries, and if you're fairly sure that everybody else is going to have batteries and there will be power on the grid, not load shedding, then what you can do is you can sell the power from your battery onto the grid.
Oh, wow.
And of course.
So that can happen in the evening as well then. So then you work through that as one of the concerns.
So what's happening in some other countries where electric vehicles with big batteries are becoming more and more common, what happens is very few people use all the power in their electric vehicle. You know, they use it all up. So if you're not going anywhere in the evening or you've got two vehicles, then you plug your vehicle into the grid and you sell the power in your battery at the peak. And they have different pricing at different times of the day because electricity has got a different value at different times in the day. And then you can make a bit of a profit selling electricity in the evenings that's sitting in your car battery and make a bit of profit off your car. That is the way the world's going. The rest of the world, we're being
Why is it so slow when we know that people have, for example, I mean, Cape Town, you say, is starting to do this, but in Johannesburg, where so many people have, in some areas, have solar, are producing additional power that they're not consuming. Why aren't we dealing with that? Surely we should be attacking this problem in many different ways, in multiple ways, there's not a singular solution. That's obvious.
Absolutely. We need to get power onto the grid from many sources. So, you know, one is the so-called utility scale power stations, whether they're renewables or otherwise. But others are, this is called embedded generation. So and South Africa has got amongst the best solar power, solar radiation in the world. So, you know, every roof that isn't shaded by a tree should really have a PV panel on it in a situation like this. The reason we're so slow is because our Department of Mineral Resources and Energy has not facilitated this transition. If anything, it's holding it back. And they both write the laws and get the laws through Parliament and also the regulations. And you can't just have anybody connecting to the grid. It has to be regulated. And then secondly, you need have tariffs to how much you're going to pay them, billing systems, admin, et cetera. And that can only happen, you know, via the grid. I try and always emphasize that for the next 20 or 30 years, it's always better that we have a grid to share our, both when we need electricity, because it's very variable, and when we've got electricity, because that's variable. So that grid typically needs to be shared by regulations, et cetera. And we're really behind when it comes to that.
Yeah,
perfect. And that's pure government stuff.
Absolutely, and that's been the biggest problem in the first place. Continues to be, very clearly. Hilton Trollope, that's where we leave it. Hilton is an energy analyst.